His blessings and desire your prayers as we'll try our best to preach what God has given us this morning. But I'm glad I'm saved. Amen.
Amen.
We're living in a world that's in a mess. If you don't believe this world's in a mess, you just ain't paying attention. We're in a mess. Our world, I mean, you think about this, we're in a mess morally, we are in a mess financially. We're in a mess spiritually. We're in a mess politically. We're just, I mean, there's not one thing going on in this world right now that it is not messed up. It's all messed up. But I got a couple things I want to say. First thing I want to let you know, God's calendar is not based on who's president of the United States. Hello, amen. But everybody's, you know, we think it is because we live here. But God's plan does not center around the United States of America. We're going to preach about that just a little bit this morning. What God's plan centers on, or where God's plan is centered on, is a little speck of dirt. I think about I want to say, not about the size of New Jersey, over in the Middle East next to the Mediterranean Sea, a little place called Israel. Everything going on right now hinges on what's going on over there. Amen. But thank God this morning for being saved. Amen. And being on, knowing that you're saved. If this morning, if you don't know that you're saved, I'd get saved. I'd get myself ready. Amen. I wouldn't fool around with this thing. If you have your Bible, go ahead and get your Bibles open. And we're going to read a couple of verses. I forget the verse I gave Brother David to have you mark. Of Ezekiel 7. All right, good. I've got like 45 scriptures, and I didn't know which one I was going to try to run from, so we'll go with that one. Ezekiel chapter 7, beginning verse 25, verse 26. The Bible says, destruction cometh. Amen. It is on its way, right? He says, and they seek peace. And there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and counsel from the ancients. So we'll read that again. I want you to notice a few things in here. Destruction cometh, right? Y'all know that. And they seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall be upon rumor. So that's what we're going to be preaching about. It's no longer a rumor. It's here. It's happening. Rumor upon rumor. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet. Unless I'm way off in my thinking, right now I don't know of any prophets in Israel. Amen. Now, there's going to be a couple come on the scene here shortly, but right now, there's not any that I know of. Do you know of any, Brother Todd? Brother Denny, do you know of any over there? Anybody else, Miss Libby? Anybody know of any? I don't know of any. So, they're seeking a prophet, but there's no prophets. Now, again, there's two coming on the scene. We're not going to get to them today, but they're coming. He says, the law shall perish from the priest. If you go back and you start studying Israel, you'll realize right now that the Temple Mount has been destroyed pretty much as far as the Jewish temple goes. And there's a Muslim mosque on top of that thing. And that's a whole other mess. And we'll mention that just a little. But there's no active priesthood in Israel right now. There's no ceremonies. There's no. Now they're getting ready to bring all that back. And they're making efforts and plans and taking steps to bring all that priesthood, Levitical priesthood, all that back. But right now there is none. So Ezekiel says, the law perishes from the priest and counsel from the ancients. Yesterday, for the first time in history, Iran directly attacked Israel with an attack from Iranian soil. Now, they've used terrorists and they've did all kinds of things. But yesterday was the first time they've ever launched from within their own borders. Iran. They launched over 200 drones, cruise missiles, and ballistic missiles. that they launched so many. Y'all have heard about Israel's Iron Dome and all that mess. In an effort to try to overwhelm that so they could succeed. It didn't do too well because Israel and their Iron Dome and the United States of America, who has troops and anti-aircraft and anti-missile stuff over there, shot down the biggest part of these missiles and these drones. Benjamin Netanyahu, and if you don't like Benjamin Netanyahu as a leader, you're just not paying attention. I wish he could be president of our country. He don't take nothing. And I like it. Benjamin Netanyahu comes out and he says, listen, I think this was a couple of days, they've kind of thought this attack was coming. He says, whoever harms us, we will harm them. Wow. Do you imagine Sleepy Joe getting up and saying that? It'd be like, whoever harms you, we will harm us. You know? Something like that. But Benjamin Netanyahu says, he was warning them. He's, listen, you attack us, we're shooting back. We're not going to be bullied. We're not going to take anything from you. Remember back when I was growing up, that's how Daddy raised me. Don't start nothing, but don't you take nothing from nobody either. That's basically what he's saying. He said, don't you shoot nothing at us, or we're coming after you, and I'm with him. And remember what Jesus said over Mark chapter 13. He said, well, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. And we're there. What did Jesus say? Next thing. Be ye not troubled. Woo! For such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. It's about over, but it ain't over. We're starting to see this stuff line up. And we'll start to see all this stuff come to pass. And that, as a Christian, I'll be honest with you. When I think it was Miss Cheryl's first person that messaged us and told us about this attack. My first response was, yeehaw. Amen. I looked at Miss Alicia and she said, it ain't going to be long, is it? I said, nope. Isaiah says, it might be tonight. Now, he's already got his stuff packed and in the car. He's ready to go. He said, we might be getting out here tonight. And I said, it could be. As far as the rapture goes, we don't ever know for sure. But listen, all this stuff has to happen. And Jesus, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars and all that, and Ezekiel talk about, you know, rumor upon rumor and not mischief upon mischief. But listen, now you are living in a spot where you ought to realize this is no longer, we're no longer dealing with just a rumor of what's going to happen. This stuff's happening. It's not rumor, it's now this prophecy fulfilled. It's the Bible unfolding, and it's your Bible being played out on national television. Amen. Listen, you should know a few things by now. I'm just going to kind of catch you up real quick. Revelation chapter 19 is not dealing with pre-rapture battle. Amen. You're dealing with a post-tribulational battle in Revelation chapter 19, and that is the battle of Armageddon. You and I will be here for that, mostly spectators, but we'll come back on horses. And somebody said, well, I can't even ride a horse. Don't worry, God will teach you. Amen. You didn't know how to walk when you first got here either, and God took care of that. And you didn't know how to talk either, and we spent 18 months, I said all the time, we spent 18 months getting him to walk and talk, and the next 18 years getting him to sit down and shut up. Amen. That's how life goes. Amen. But listen, say, well, what about this one? And you believe this is going to happen and that's going to happen? You really believe you're come back on right horses? I believe every letter in this book. Amen. I believe the periods are where they're supposed to be. The commas are right. The colons are right. I believe everything in it. And when Jesus said the armies in heaven followed after him on horses, bless God, I don't care if mine's black, white, but it's going to be white. I don't care less. It can have one horsepower of 50. I'm coming back on a horse. Amen. Amen. That little lady at time, Jesus was getting, they come, they jump on to her, and they turned, they was going to pack her out of the church, and she and the two deacons went and got her. She's just a shouting granny, and she's a woo, 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 you know, dead church. So they grabbed her, they packed her out, and she said, well, thank you, Jesus. When Jesus got carried on one donkey, but you know, when the brother Dan said, she didn't say donkey, she said, now I've got two. Amen. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in the last days, and we're already there. It's past. I'm surprised God's not already come got us yet. Amen. But chapter 19 is Armageddon. It coincides with Ezekiel chapter 39. Revelation chapter 20 is another battle. It's the battle of Gog and Magog. That is a post-millennial battle. Right? You with me? It coincides with Ezekiel 38. Now, these two battles are significant, but they are not what we're watching right now. Now, We're seeing that chapter 19 battle, things start to fall together for it. But what you're watching right now is not Armageddon. He said, Brother Gary, how do you know that? Because I'm not riding my horse. Amen. So, what we are seeing is the unfolding of Scripture. You are watching the Bible just be laid open. And if you're here this morning, you're one of them idiots that don't believe in the Bible, you ain't watching the news. Everything they reported yesterday, Ezekiel wrote about 2,500-600 years ago. We're watching it. And here we are. Jesus' words are so true. You should hear of wars and rumors of wars. And I'm glad Jesus said, when ye hear. He didn't say if. It was when. Jesus was sure about it, and I'm sure about it. If you know anything else, if you don't know anything else about the Bible, you need to know that the Bible's always right about everything. Not one error is in this book. And when I say the Bible, me and Brother Todd agree with this. We're talking about a King James Bible. Amen. If y'all hear me say the Bible, you just need to know that. It's the King James 1611, authorized version, not a new King James, not an NIV, not a HESV or something, whatever they call it, HVAC, I don't know. But I'm talking about the Bible. And it is right. It's right about the war. It's right about the conflicts. It's right about the plan of salvation. Hello? It is right when the Bible says that Jesus is your only hope. That's exactly what it means. And listen, there's two things I know of that God left out of the Bible. Your opinion and mine. Amen. Right. Amen. God didn't ask you what you thought about nothing. He didn't ask me what I thought about anything. He just told me this is how it's going to be, and your job is to believe it. Right? Amen. And Jesus, just as sure as all this is true, as sure as there's armies in heaven preparing for war, as sure as there's armies down here preparing for war, I want you to realize this, church, you're getting ready to get out of here. Amen. And it's just about time to go home for you. So we're going to preach to you just a little bit about what's going on over there and try to get you ready. We're dealing with end times topics because we're living in the end times. Amen. So I'm going to tell you, number one, and you're going to have to listen real fast. I've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So watch the bandit run. Amen. Y'all know that song. Y'all ain't super spiritual. Y'all know y'all watch stuff you shouldn't watch. You bunch of heathens. Amen. But number one, I'm going to tell you, number one, about this. The stage is set. It's already playing out. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that are written to you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then shall destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Now, you see what the Bible says there? He says, we know perfectly. So a few things we want to know perfectly. I want to say quickly, by getting into this first message, this first topic, that the blood of Jesus is all that you need. Amen. I know that perfectly. How do I know that? Because I'm perfectly saved. Amen. I'm completely saved. I'm saved to the uttermost. I've got the full assurance of salvation. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. Jesus is coming back to get me. If nobody else goes, I'm going. Amen. I'm saved by God's grace. I'm not saved. Amen. If you're here this morning and you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you should be able to say amen and praise God with me, knowing that the blood of Jesus is really all you need. Amen. It's not about water baptism. It's not about church attendance. Well, you ought to be at church. You ought to go to church. And if you don't go to church, you'd probably tell me how unsaved you really are. Amen. But listen, you need the blood of Jesus in your life. The Bible is still true. You need the blood. You need the Bible. And the bride's getting ready to leave here. Three things on this earth that the world hates. The world hates our Bible. Hates it. That's why you got hundreds of fake ones running around, trying to distract you from the real one. The world hates the Bible. The world hates the church. Now, the world loves the Catholic Church. And they love the mega church. But what they don't love is the Bible-believing church. Why? Because they hate the Bible. And if you believe the Bible, they're going to hate you. Right? Amen. Y'all with me? Two things they hate so far. They hate who? They hate the Bible. They hate who? They hate the church. And the last one that I'm going to tell you on this earth right now that they hate is they hate Israel. Amen. This world hates the nation of Israel. They've always hated Israel. And let me say this while I'm talking about that. These three things, the Bible, the church, and Israel. I'm so glad I can tell you this by power and by authority. Jesus Christ is going to defend all three of them. Amen. When he judges this world, he's going to judge them by the things written in the books. Amen. When he comes back the second time, he's coming back with who? With his saints. Amen. He's defending that church. Where's he coming back to, Brother Todd? He's coming back to Israel. Amen. He's going to defend all three of us. Amen. So thank God what we're seeing. Now yesterday, and I meant to bring out the whiteboard, but you're going to have to take notes or listen real good. You have two nations. On one side you have Israel. On the other side you had Iran. Right? And I'm talking about the stage is set. The United States immediately comes out and says, you know what, they shouldn't have done that. And they pledged help, had military things, people and whatever, equipment over there. And we as a nation, thank God, begin assisting them in shooting down those missiles and those drones. So now you have Iran on one side, Israel, and the United States on the other side. Now, along with the United States, one of the very first countries that come out and condemned Iran's attack was England. So now it's Iran versus Israel, the United States, England. Right? Then the next country, one of the next countries that come out and says, you know what, we're condemning this attack, was a country way out in over, we call it the land down yonder. It was Australia. So you have Iran by themselves so far, Israel, United States, England, Australia. Then you have what they call Western nations, like France and people like that, that are side over here. Now, what is significant with the United States, England, and Australia is that they are related. England would be, if you will, the mama, and Australia and the United States would be her youngins. Right? We all know, if you know history, that the United States started out as an English colony. Australia started out as a what? An English colony. There was a penal colony, prison camp, basically. So that's where these two countries get their start. Now that's in the Bible. The Bible links those nations. So you have the United States and England already have troops there. So it's Iran versus Israel, United States, England, Australia, and Western nations. In Ezekiel 38, verse 13, the Bible says, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee. So those three, Sheba, Dedan, and the merchants of Tarshish, bring you to England. England is the old line. England's national symbol is a what? It's a lion. So who's the young lions? That'd be her youngins. Australia, United States, and those Western nations. So they say to the enemies of Israel, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company together to take a prey and to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods and to take a great spoil? See, the Arab world has no plans of coexisting with Israel. They have no plans of coexisting with the church. Right? And their goal is to completely exterminate or annihilate Israel from the Middle East. And they want to conquer the land. We hear them all the time. You know, the news since this war with Hamas and all that. From the river to the sea. Talking about from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. From the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. From the river to the sea. They're talking about doing away with Israel. You can hear them now in our own country. And it's a shame that this happens in America. You guys, well, they've got freedom of speech. Well, we don't have freedom to punch them in the mouth. People get up in this country and chant death to Israel and death to America in our country. Hello. It'd be like you walk into my house and said, I'm going to shoot your wife. I'm like, well, you're gonna have trouble with that because you're gonna be dead here in a second. Amen. Listen, that ought not happen here. Amen. Yeah, they chant death to Israel, death to America. And we're dealing with this stuff right now. And like I said, everything that they were reporting, Ezekiel reported. So we see all this stuff beginning to line up. You have Israel, United States, England, Australia, Western nations. You have Iran, as of yesterday. So who's going to come over here? Right? That's what we got to figure out, right? Who's going to fight on this side? We know Iran's over here. We've seen that yesterday. Jeremiah 50:23, I ask a question. And it's odd that the Bible just is so greatly written. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? Let me ask you a question. What country's symbol is a hammer? Russia. The hammer, back in the 1980s, was broken. Right? Soviet Union was disbanded. So the hammer was broken. It's cut asunder. It's divided. So Jeremiah asked a question about the hammer. So now you're starting to see who's going to be over here. So he says that. Verse 41, behold, a people shall come from the north in Jeremiah chapter 50. Anytime in the Bible you see people from the north, it's talking about north of Palestine, north of Israel. And north of Palestine, north of Israel is who? Russia. So the hammer, the people of the north, are Russia. So now this is starting to unfold for you. Israel, United States, England, Australia, Western nations. Iran, Russia. Now, Brother Gary, Russia's come out and said they've denounced this attack. Yep, did you see what they said? They said they have the right to defend themselves. They're saying that Israel, says they didn't attack them. So basically what they're saying, if it comes out that Israel done something, then they have the right. They're not siding with Israel. If you know anything about bears, you bear hunters, I know Wes is a bear hunter, and I don't know who else in here hunts bears, but looking at some of you ladies' husbands, I think all you women do. Amen. Especially mine, bless her heart. But what do bears do every winter? Hibernate. They don't die. They just go to sleep. You all watch that old Russian bear. It just went to sleep. Yeah, the hammer's broken. Yep. But them people from the north are going to get together. And they're going to come down. In Daniel chapter 11, you have another nation coming into the picture. The Bible calls this nation the king of the south. Who is the king of the south in the Bible? It's always talking about Egypt. And actually in Daniel chapter 11, it goes on and actually names Egypt. So now you have over here Iran, Russia, Egypt. Things starting to unfold. Daniel 11 verse 6, or Revelation rather, chapter 16, as to us, the nations of China and Japan, middle and far eastern countries. So listen, now you have who? Israel, United States, England, Australia, Western nations. Over here now we have Iran, Russia, Egypt, and China and Japan. Don't you think for a minute that China or Japan wouldn't cut our throats in a heartbeat. They're our friends. They're our allies. They're snakes. And they'll turn on you in a minute. You don't believe me? Where'd COVID come from? Where's fentanyl come from? Amen. And Lord help us, if Japan decides to shut off everything they own here, we're in a mess. That ought not be allowed, and I'm sure people don't like that, but it's truth anyhow. So you have Iran, Russia, Egypt, China, Japan. You have an agreement is made between North, King of the North, Russia, and the King of the South, Egypt. Daniel 11:41 adds more nations into the mix. They're called Edom and Moab. That's the Arab and the Muslim world joining the mix. Esau, y'all know who Edom is, right? Esau, right? Y'all remember it from the Bible? Esau is Edom. And Esau married a daughter of a man named Ishmael. Y'all remember that? Who's Ishmael? Ishmael is the man that the Muslims claim to have right to the land of Israel through. Ishmael would be the father, if you will, of Islam. Now I know about Muhammad and all that, but basically you say the Arab world. That comes all through Ishmael. And they are connected through Egypt through Ishmael's mama, Hagar. So you have all this coming to pass. Again, if you're keeping score, Israel, United States, Australia, England, Western nations. Now we have Iran, Russia, Egypt, China, and Japan, the Arab and the Muslim nations. In Ezekiel 38, verses 1 through 6, you can confirm Russia. Verse 2 says Persia, which is Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, as well as Togarma. Gomer is Germany. Now listen, you got to be careful for nations and try to take on the world twice. So Germany gets into the mix. Then you have Togarma, which is Turkey, another country north of Israel. So you see all this is coming to pass. Israel, United States, England, Australia, Western nations, Iran, Russia, Egypt, China, Japan, Ethiopia, Libya, Germany, Turkey. And if you'd go over there right now, you'd begin to find out just exactly who's on whose side. Where's Iran? Where's Hamas? All these countries. Where are they all getting all their missiles and stuff from? Iran. Where's Iran getting all her missiles from? Russia. They're fighting each other. Right? That looks like Brother D and Brother Luther getting in a fight throwing rocks at each other. And Luther runs out of rocks and me giving him more rocks. Now, I'm not throwing rocks at Luther or Brother D, but I'm giving rocks to Luther to throw at him. So I am in the fight, right? So you've got to watch that. We have to understand what was happening, what is unfolding for us. You realize in the Bible, it tells us all these things. Now, I've got a list up here. I'm not going to go through this whole seven-page list, but I'm going to give you some highlights from it. That Russian bear has a lot of friends. She has military agreements with several countries. Matter of fact, she has military agreements with 73 different nations. Some of these nation compacts read like, if we get in the war, you help us. If you go to war, we'll help you. There are nations like Afghanistan, Armenia, Bahrain, Brunei, Cambodia, China, Cyprus, India, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait, North Korea, Pakistan, Syria, Argentina, Cuba, South Africa. Just name a few. Altogether, in Asia, Russia has agreements with 33 nations in Asia. That includes the Middle East, Far East. She has agreements with 5 nations in South America. Like Cuba, Venezuela, places, something like that. Maybe Cuba might be more considered North America because she has 3 nations in North America that she has compacts with. In Africa, a very strong Muslim continent, 29 countries. In Europe, 3. So I'm telling you, the stage is set. You watch how this thing plays out. If it doesn't play out this way today, it'll get there tomorrow. But all these nations are lining up. Right now, you see Iran, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, all those, Lebanon, all them places like that, they want nothing better than to get rid of Israel. Terrorists, all that junk, Hamas, the PLO, all them are demonic organizations, and it's all lining up. And you're going to watch, where do they get their weapons from? Where do they get their drones from? They all go back to that mama bear, that broken hammer that's not so broken. So I give you this morning that the stage is set. Don't let this stuff panic you. Don't let the news worry you. Don't let somebody tell you, it's the worst thing ever happens. If you're saved, this is the best news you can get. This just proves to me and you, if you needed more proof, that the Bible's right. God gets it right every time. Always gets it right. So, now give me number 2. We know the stage is set, but number 2. So the saints are not surprised, are you? You guys know this was coming, didn't you? You've been waiting to see this happen, haven't you? Why? Because we know before the Antichrist can come, guess where we're going? We're getting out of here. Amen. So we're not surprised. That's what Paul said to the church of Thessalonica. He said, but of the times of the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh. It's coming, right? It's going to get here as a thief in the night. Verse 4, he says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a Bible reader and a Bible believer, you've been waiting for this. You've expected it. It's like, you know, when Salisha was pregnant with Isaiah, and, you know, when we first found out she was pregnant, it wasn't that big a deal. I mean, well, it was to her, but I thought, well, we got time. You know, we don't have to worry about it yet. He'll be here when he gets here. Different things like that. Yeah, then she starts going for ultrasounds, and you get little pictures. This little thing was supposed to look like a baby, but it looked like a little peanut or something in there covered in goo. And they said, they tell me that's my boy. And I thought, that ain't my kid. Amen. I mean, look at that thing. It was weird looking. Then, you know, you get big, it gets bigger, and you get more ultrasounds, more pictures. Then all of a sudden, they bring a picture to me, and it's a 3D ultrasound. I can see his face. And I can see, I knew who he looked like, and bless God, he was blessed. He looked like his daddy. And he looked like me. And I can even pray and say, God, please, God, please don't let him have my nose. God, please don't let him have my nose. That's my prayer. And I don't think he did. He got somebody's, but not mine. But, you know, we'd watch that, and it'd get bigger and bigger and bigger. Then it got to about December, and boy, I began thinking, boy, it's almost time. He could be here for Christmas. And we didn't know he was going to be here or not. But, you know, what we did, just in case he got there, we went out and bought Christmas presents. He wasn't even born yet. But I was saying, just, man, if he's born on December 23rd, I can't run out and get him nothing then. So we're going to have to be prepared. What I'm telling you this morning, you're not surprised by all these events, and you're getting yourself prepared for the next big event that's getting ready to happen. And you're a Bible, you've been expecting this to happen. And when finally they come to us, and she went to the doctor, and they said, well, tomorrow we're going to take you in, and we're going to do this C-section, and you're going to have a baby. By the time he was born, man, we was ready. We had a car seat, we had a bed, we had diapers, we had everything set in order. Thank God this morning, the church ain't perfect, but it's set in order, and it's expecting the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, this morning, I might get a little tore apart when I start thinking about how this stuff's unfolding. But when I really start thinking about how it's unfolding, boy, it's like God starts putting all that back together. And instead of being terrified, I'm absolutely ecstatic that Jesus Christ is soon to come again and get his church and to take us home. He said, brethren, you're not in darkness. You're ready. You know this is happening. But I preach you this morning, Paul, John, Matthew, Mark, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, all this morning have all told us that he's coming again. This stuff has to happen. And you go on a little further, Moses, David, Isaiah, Zechariah, Luke, Samuel, and Job, 40 different books in our Bible, 2,000 different references, 70% of the New Testament tell us that Jesus is coming again, and this morning it's all falling together. This is no time for worry, church. It's a time for worship. Amen. No wonder on through Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, you keep reading through that chapter about the end times and about the Antichrist and about all this stuff that's going to happen. Paul was, one verse has just two words in it, Brother Todd. That just makes me want to shout the house down. Paul said, listen, guys, the end's coming. Paul says, listen, guys, the Antichrist is coming. Listen, guys, they're getting ready to get out of here. Then he says two little words toward the end of that chapter. Rejoice. Yeah. Evermore. Amen. Yep, the Antichrist is coming. Rejoice evermore. Yes, the false prophet's coming. Rejoice evermore. Yes, one world government's coming, but rejoice evermore. Yes, the false prophet, the beast, the Antichrist, all that is coming. Yes, the tribulation's coming on this world. But Paul pins those two words as confident as any man's ever wrote anything in his life. He says, rejoice evermore. Why? Because you and I are not going to be here. We're getting ready to get up on out of here. Amen. So you can't say, Brother Gay, you know what? I just read on the news yesterday that they bombed Israel. Praise God. Hey, praise God. It's getting ready to go home time. Amen. We should sing a song. See the bright light shine. It's just about home time. Amen. I'm telling you, the stage is set, but the saints are not surprised. Amen. We're ready. We're waiting. We are wanting the Lord to come soon. Number three. So we have the saints are not surprised. The stage being set. But number three. Sinners can still be saved. Well, glory, you're sitting here this morning, got a lot of people fooled, You're going to hell so fast. Some of you teenagers, as soon as you get a chance, you're not coming back to church. I know it and you know it. Why? Because you're lost and going to hell. So don't talk about my baby that way. Well, it's the truth. You need to tell your... The worst lie you can tell anybody is to tell them that they're going to heaven when they're going to hell. I read that on the notes book the other day, and that's pretty good. But sinners, right now, are still living in the same age you and I are living in. And we're all called the age of what? Pick it out for me. Todd, what is it? Age of grace. God's still merciful, isn't he? God's still gracious. God still loves this world. Amen. God still has his Holy Spirit troubling souls and bringing conviction. God still has preachers trying to preach the truth and warn people. Yeah, stages it. Yeah, the church is getting ready to leave. But you know what? You can be part of the crowd that goes home. Amen. You don't have to stay here. You don't have to see the Antichrist. You don't have to be one of those that says, well, you know, I heard Brother Gary preach about them going to come. They're going to put a mark on you in your hand or in your forehead. You don't have to be that guy that says, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Listen, you can be like Brother Gary this one. I know exactly what I'm going to do when Antichrist comes out and he brings his mark of the beast out. I know exactly what I'm going to do, Brother Todd. I'm going to be sitting somewhere up in heaven shouting the praises of my God in heaven. Thank God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for loving me. God, thank you for bringing me this wonderful world. God, thank you for making me yours. God, thank you for taking my sin away. God, thank you for grace. God, I know exactly where I'm going to be when all this begins to happen. And you can be there too. Amen. Listen, unsaved, your time's running out. You may say, Brother Gary, I'm young. You might be. This earth ain't. We're on the tail end of this thing. I said, Brother Gary, you're just trying to scare me. I'd rather scare you straight. Let's pat your back and you go to hell. There's still time for you. How do I know? Church is still here. Now listen. When you come here on Sunday morning and you begin to look around, there ain't but maybe like two or three folks here, and you're one of them two or three, you better start panicking. That's right, baby. Amen. Even the babies know what most educated people don't have enough sense to realize. Man. You can have a chance right now. Now, your chance after the church goes, you still have a chance. But if you won't get saved now, I doubt very highly you'll get saved then. Because it's going to be a lot different. It's going to be a lot harder. See, right now, you know, well, I'm afraid my friends will laugh at me. They very well may. See, but after the church is gone, you don't have to worry about your friends laughing at you. You don't worry about the government killing you. Hello. I tell you, there's still hope because the blood's still here. It's no longer a rumor. It's a prophecy. It's fulfilled prophecy. Time after time after time after time after time, the Bible says this is going to happen, and it happened. Jesus said, when you hear of wars and rumors of war, that's just the beginning. The end's not yet. So what's he saying? So for you that dismiss church and can't wait to get out of here on Sundays, have no plans of coming back on Wednesdays, there's going to be a day you'll break your neck to get to God's house. And you're going to find yourself praying, saying, God, I wish I would have. Brother Gary told us this was coming. So the stage is set. The saints are not surprised. But sinners, there's still hope. You don't have to stay here, and you definitely don't have to go to hell. You don't have to. If everybody will bow their head just for a minute. Miss, anyone, if you will, come on.